Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the IPH Limited Half-Year 2016 Results Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation, followed by a question-and-answer session, at which time, if you wish to queue for a question, you will need to press 0, followed by 1 on your telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded today, Tuesday, the 23rd of February, 2016. I would now like to hand the conference over to your host today, Mr. David Griffith, Managing Director. Thank you, sir. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everybody. I'm here with Dr. Andrew Blattman, the CEO of Spruson & Ferguson, and Malcolm Mitchell, our group CFO, who will present in certain parts of the presentation this morning. But I'm very proud and pleased to be able to present our financial highlights. Our half-year 16 adjusted NPAT increased by 70% on the previous, on the corresponding period of the 15-year. Our underlying constant currency, excluding acquisitions, earnings growth is strong. Our underlying EBITDA is up 23%. Our adjusted NPAT is $23.4 million, which equates to earnings per share of 13.8 cents. Which is 75% ahead of the equivalent period for the financial year 15. We continue to get net benefits derived from foreign exchange movements, although you'll note that has stabilised in more recent times. But we have an incremental $4 million of EBITDA from our new acquisitions. The Spruson and Ferguson offices in Australia and Singapore are exhibiting strong growth. And Pizzy's, our acquisition of September last year, is also showing very strong growth. We have free cash flow of $24.2 million. This is compared to $15.6 million in the half year 15. We have cash of $77 million, no debt, $97.6 million undrawn bank facilities. The board has declared a dividend of 11 cents per share, of which 8.8 cents is franked. It's decided because of our current cash situation that it was the most prudent policy was not to utilise the dividend reinvestment plan for this dividend. Turning to the operational highlights, I think we're proud to say we've had strong performance across the group. Pizzy's is going, you could say, gangbusters. Callanan's was a smaller firm and a totally different style of firm to our other acquisitions, and we paid a much lower multiple for that, but that's been integrated well now into Fisher, Adams & Kelly. They're, in our acquisition of Callanan's, we did factor in the fact that one of their strong clients may not come across. That was all factored into the price, and these things, sometimes because of corporate policies, predicate against you being able to act for someone, and that was the case. So with that, what I would say is small loss. Callanan's has come across very well. We have an extremely strong pipeline of acquisitions and development opportunities, and we've got a lot of activity going on in that regard. As a group, we filed 7,889 patent applications and 1,763 trademark applications in the half year 16. I don't have any exact data to compare it with, but I can say anecdotally that in my experience of being in this profession for many decades and a pretty good understanding of what's going on in the world, we would be in the absolute top group of entities in the world for filing patent applications. In Asia, we've expanded our presence. We've maintained our number one patent market position in Singapore with 25% market share. SF Asia has recommenced its trademark business in Singapore last November, and Pizzy's has opened its Singapore office on the 4th of February 2016. We're sure that the Pizzy's office will be a great success as they have a wonderful client reach from the Northern Hemisphere, similar to SF Asia. In Australia, we've strengthened our market position with the acquisition of Pizzy's and Callanan's. maintained our number one patent market share of 20.5% at the latest statistics, and we hold collectively the number one trademark market position in Australia. That's of the trademark applicants that use professional advisors, what we call the qualified market share. The America Invents Act stimulated a reasonable amount of growth in patent filings in Asia during the period, a little bit like on a smaller scale what we had in 2014 with the raising of the bar in Australia. So our other acquisitions, Practice Insight, we've opened our office in Munich. We have what I believe is the best sales team in Europe in intellectual property who are operating that office. I've met with them a few weeks ago, and they're very excited about where they're going with that. So it's early days for revenue, but we hold out a lot of hope for what we will derive from Practice Insight in the next few years. Our efficiencies are gaining momentum, allowing for scalability and flexibility across the group. We've been able to cut costs throughout the group in particular areas, and this will continue. It'll get more momentum, actually, in the coming 6 to 9 months. We have increased our overheads a bit in at the head office of IPH due to the broadening amount of acquisitions and those in the pipeline that we have to be ready to manage. So we've got a lot of things going on, and our management team has been strengthened. John Woodhams has been appointed the COO, and we inherited John from with the acquisition of Pizzies, and he's a very insightful and experienced operator of IP practices, and so he's a great help. We have a new deputy CFO starting, and a group treasurer was appointed. With that, I'll hand over to Dr. Andrew Blattman to give you the business snapshot and market update.
Good. Thank you, David. And thanks, everyone, for dialing in this morning. It's our pleasure to present these results to you. What I'm looking at now is page 9 of the presentation, which is the market overview trend in patent filings. This slide really looks at the international PCT patent applications, which those of you who've attended our discussions in the last couple of years will recall that these are the international filings that then hit Australia in 18 months' time. So they're a good canary in the coal mine, so to speak, in terms of your visibility of what your future filings will be. So the good thing about this slide, too, is this slide is reflecting post the American Invents Act, which David has indicated, and you will have noticed by flicking through the presentation, that has driven Australian patent filings and Singapore patent filings in quite strongly in the half year 16. But even going past that now, as that moves forward, you can see that the PCT filings, particularly for the US and to a lesser extent Japan, continue to be strong. And that works well for us. As the figures we look at, as we understand it, 30% of all US originating PCT cases that come in as Australian national phases come in through the IPH group of companies. So a strong US pipeline is a strong pipeline for IPH. Europe's been a little bit quieter. Japan's had some modest growth, and you also see some modest growth in Korea as well. Japan had a bit of a bounce just at the end of their financial year, which I understand is quite traditional. So moving to slide 10, which is the Asian patent market, you can see across the market, including Singapore, there's been growth. So as Dave's indicated, having a growth in Singapore in a growing market is a good result for the Spruce and Ferguson Group and therefore, of course, for IPH. The interesting thing there is Indonesia and Thailand are showing key growth markets for us, and there's something that Dave will probably speak to towards the end of the presentation about some opportunities we're pursuing in those jurisdictions in the very near future. So the next slide, slide 11, is the market overview for Australia and Singapore. As you can see, the patent filing market has grown. We had that bump 2013, which was the raising the bar, which you will recall from our presentations was a big boost in Australian patent filings. Now we've had something not quite as significant, but fairly significant, driven by not only the AIA, but some growth in PCTs around the world, but primarily the AIA. And as I say, 30% of those US cases come into IPH. So that's for us. Singapore, similar scenario. There's been a rise in patent filings to over 10,000 patent filings a year. Again, the American Invents Act driving that increase. So moving to slide 12, which is the IPH patent market share in Australia and Singapore. The first window there is Australia. We're at 20.5% of market share in Australia. That puts IPH very much in number one position with a significant gap between our nearest competitors. David's elucidated or indicated there that there was a slight drop in market share from 15 to 16, very slight scenario. One cause for that was we had a few significant clients, particularly in the Spruson & Ferguson group, that filed less in 2016 is what happened in 2015. We also had one in the IPH acquisition group that didn't come over post-acquisition. That was thought may be the case and was reflected in the earn-out structure, and that's also described by Malcolm in his presentation and the notes accompanying the announcement today. But at the same time, we've had significant wins in Australia and Asia, and we expect those to start flowing through into this year and next. So good market share, continuing good market share, and good prospects for the future. Singapore, we're at 25% market share. That's, again, an increase, and an increase in a growing market. It puts us in a good position. 13 is the market share in Asia. And I like this slide. Shows our opportunity, really. And we've got a little market share in some of these other countries, but they're growing markets, and they're markets we're ready to attack. And we're about to do some things in Indonesia and Thailand, which David can give you some more information on. But Asia's in a good space, and that'll be also reflected in what Malcolm has to say about Asia with the underlying performance of that sector of the IPH group, which has been very strong. So finally, for me at least, before I pass on to David again for acquisitions, is filings. And you can see across the board they're on track and growing. PITIs, we haven't got in there the figure from financial year 15, but we're looking at a 20% growth there from 15 to 16. Good growth and good continuing growth across the group. The nice thing to see also, it's a smaller thing, but it's a nice thing to see, is trademarks in Australia growing after a number of years of decline and back on track and in the best shape it's been for a long time. And also, the other thing to note there is the recommencement of the Asian trademark filings as of 1 November, and that's, again, a good opportunity for us. So on that note, I'll pass back to David for acquisitions.
Thanks, Andrew. Just quickly running through these PITIs. This was a firm we were very happy to acquire. Absolutely first-class people. They've shown their one group that in Australia that's gone from zero to number four patent filer in the country in the last 15 years, which is an incredible tribute to the people involved, and they continue to grow very strongly. Quality clients, fundamentally based in North America, Japan and Europe, and we can see a lot of leverage for them into the Asian market. So that acquisition was completed on the 30th of September. Their offices are in Brisbane and Canberra. They have very low overheads, very high margins, great client base. The consideration was $72.1 million, 50% cash, 50% shares in IPH, which are all escrowed for 2 years. There is a potential earn-out based on their financial year 16 earnings of another $6.7 million and additional shares equivalent. These earn-out shares will be escrowed 2 years from the date of issue. The way they're travelling, I think there's a reasonable chance they'll make that earn-out because they're really travelling very well. So they're immediately EPS accretive, and we're very pleased to be able to organise and help them open the office in Singapore in February. Callinan's acquisition was one which was really the acquisition of a firm that had a totally different dynamics to the others, but they have some very good quality clients, and the thought with them was to merge them with Fisher, Adams and Kelly to save on, you know, it was an immediate consolidation of overheads, and the two blended together well. This will increase the FAK margins and bring some excellent clients to the group. That was completed on the 2nd of November 2015. Callinan's is solely in Melbourne with a good local and a foreign client base. Consideration was $5.5 million, settled 50% cash and the balance by shares, and these are also escrowed for 2 years. There's a potential earn-out for them based on client retention of an additional $2 million and another 143,000 IPH shares. Again, immediately EPS accretive, and the merger with FAK will enable a lot of overheads to be saved out of that combined group. So we have... they're the acquisitions we've done. I'll talk more about the future ones further down the track, but right now I'll hand over to Malcolm Mitchell, our CFO, to talk about the
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. If we can turn to slide 19 of the presentation, and what we provided in this slide is a reconciliation of the reported results that are in the half-year report numbers, and what we believe is the an appropriate indication of the underlying performance of the business. The adjustments that are in the second column of that presentation all are relate to non-cash items. They mainly relate to the acquisitions, where there's a net expense of $2.3 million we've added back. These comprise repricing of the earnouts on both Pizzi's and Callinan's, but also a write back of an earnout liability in connection with one of the earnout components that was initially contracted, which will not be passed, and therefore we've written that earnout component back, and there is a corresponding impairment of the investment associated with it. The two virtually net one another out and have a small positive impact, not a negative impact. The other major item is we've written back the amortization of the intangibles that have arisen out of the business combination standard. We've revalued the goodwill of the acquisitions and identified customer relationships and trademarks and software as intangibles that should be booked under the standard. These have to two of these, the business, the customer relations and the software, are being amortized. Customer relations being amortized over 10 years, and software over 4, and that has resulted in a $2.1 million charge in the reported results, which we have adjusted to show the adjusted earnings. We believe that the adjusted earnings then can be compared against the adjusted earnings from the previous year, which were largely affected by the IPO and the restructuring prior to the IPO. If we could now turn to the next slide, what I've done here is taken the adjusted earnings as just described and factored out the effects of the acquisitions and the constant currency and the currency effect over the period. Those adjustments taking the $4 million contribution from acquisitions. Included in that $4 million is $0.6 million of expense related to the costs of doing acquisitions. The standards today require that all business acquisition expenses are written off as incurred. In prior generations, you used to be able to capitalize those. They obviously only are incurred while the acquisitions are being undertaken. And since we have an ongoing program, that will be a regular expense in our results. The constant currency adjustment nets to a $5.6 million increment, which has been factored out. What that allows us to do then is really compare the business as it was a year ago with the same components of the business as they are today. And the what I'd like to draw your attention to is the 23% increase in EBITDA, a 9% increase in revenue. Of that, in that 9% increase in revenue, 27 is the gross number, but 18% of that is currency effect. If we want to, when we did the AGM, we made a forecast of EBITDA of $32 to $34 million. If you'd asked me to put a number on it on the day, I would have seen us coming out with a high 32 forecast for a number for the result. There were two factors that reduced the EBITDA below that figure. First of all, there was a foreign exchange negative effect of around $250,000. The forecast was calculated based on a 72 cent US dollar. The balance sheet rate at 31 December was in fact 72.99. That 1 cent, because it affects your balance sheet and we have large US dollar receivables on that balance sheet, if you calculate it, it's $250,000 effect, negative effect. Just on that 1 cent movement because of the balance sheet. Obviously, that's just swings and roundabouts. It'll come back with the dollar moving each month. The other issue that was below what I'd anticipated was one of our units did not follow through all the way to the end of the year. They closed early for Christmas. Their result has all come through in January, so very much just a timing issue on that. Those two factors really were the difference between what we had forecast and what came out at the end of the day. Both items that really are just timing issues from the half year to the full year. If we go to the segment breakdown, on page 21, what we have shows that there's been strong growth in both Asia and in Australia, particularly Asia. The results there that are coming through are extremely strong. The underlying earnings growth that Asia is seeing is around 23% on the revenue line and nearly 30% on the EBITDA line. That's having factored out the currency. It's an extremely strong growing business, and we do anticipate that being able to continue as we go forward. On slide 22, what we've shown here is the results split into Australia, Asia, but also showing the new business effect on both EBITDA and revenue. Slide 23, the reason for showing this adjusted slide is to really make the point about the strength of IPH's earnings. IPH turns virtually all its earnings into cash and has substantial free cash flow. I define free cash flow as having taken into account operating capital expenditure. The free cash flow that we show there is 24.2 compared to 15.6 in the previous period. That is what supports the dividend. When we came to look at the result with the board for declaring the dividend, it was realized that the current dividend policy, which was predicated on NPAT, reported NPAT, really was not an appropriate policy going forward, and the board has revised its dividend policy to make it in future to be 80 to 90% of the adjusted profit, in other words, adjusted for the non-cash items, because that's the ability of the company to pay its dividends. That's the strength of this company. It does not invest in working capital to any great extent, and it means that the cash falls through, the earnings fall through as cash available to be distributed. So I think that slide just wants to reinforce that point about the strength of the earnings of the business. On slide 24, I've just added a presentation of the balance sheet. Really, the message of the balance sheet is the strength of what we have available to support the acquisition program for going forward. We have $77 million of cash on the balance sheet. There are undrawn facilities of 97.6. The major movements on the balance sheet, obviously the acquisition intangibles and goodwill arise from the increase from the acquisitions of Pizzey's and Callinan's, and also the deferred liability again from the acquisitions of Pizzey's and Callinan's. That deferred liability will be settled approximately half in cash and half in shares. On slide 25, this slide is one which I hope will give the analysts something to help them with their models, adjust their models to what we now have as a group. Obviously, the group's changed over the last year with acquisitions, and there's been a rebalancing of some of the sensitivities in the group to currency. And the two pie charts there break down on the one side revenue net of the recoverable expenses, and on the other side the operating expenses into the underlying currencies that exist. That's been based on the current level of exchange rates. And also the small table there shows the sensitivity that we have to changes in the exchange rate from a EBITDA, on an EBITDA level. That's really what I have to say, so I'll hand back to David to talk about what we see coming forward.
Thanks, Malcolm. The future growth initiatives on slide 27, really continuing what we said we'd do when we started, maintaining and growing our patent market share in Singapore, which is of course happening, and we've opened the Pizzey office there. We've to open offices and acquire well-established IP firms in other Asian countries. By the end of March, we'll have our offices opened in Thailand, Indonesia, and I hope China. We've had approvals in all of those countries for our corporate structures, and we have employed staff, and we think that we can, having a physical office in these places with high-quality people, then we'll be able to really increase our footprint and our market share in those countries. For example, in Thailand, we've employed what I believe is the most wonderful chap. He's American, worked in some of the largest companies in America in intellectual property, and he's joining us as of the end of this month, and he'll be a great asset in growing our business in North America, from North America. So all of that is very positive. We're also in discussions with acquisitions, certainly in Thailand and China. Will these come off or not? We don't know. They all take longer than you expect because, in this intellectual property world, these are people that have owned and grown their firms for many decades in most instances, and they love what we're doing. We don't have any particular negatives. It's just a slow process. In any event, we are grinding forward, and I'm sure they will happen. So we will increase our market share in these other Asian countries. I think that's a given. Our trademark practice in Asia is going to grow, certainly with the guy coming on board we've got in Thailand. He already has a substantial practice, much of which will follow him because the people he's with are happy for him to take the staff and to follow him. So we think that'll happen there in pretty short order. So if we can leverage that work into other countries on top of what he's already doing, that's great. So we think that there's many opportunities for us to just grow and grow into the Asian region. Efficiency gains. Our IT investment, of course, is just an ongoing thing and continues, and we've just got up and running our off-site operations, and that will affect how and improve our IT offerings towards the entities, and that just continues on a small step-by-step scale to improve our operational costs and efficiency of all of the people working in the entities. So we're very happy with the way that's going. It can always go a bit faster, but you have to be ambitious with these. It's certainly happening. We have a strong pipeline of potential acquisitions. In Australia, where our job's just about done, we've got a couple of people we're talking to. It may not happen. It doesn't matter if it doesn't. It'd be nice if it does. But, you know, you do get to a point where you have really achieved what you set out to do, and we're close to that point. Secondary markets, however, we have immense opportunity, and we are in discussions with people in, with large numbers of staff and viable operations in all of these countries of interest to us. And, you know, let's see what happens in the next 12 months, but I'm sure that there'll be some exciting things along this road. We don't want to run ahead of ourselves because people don't enter into these things lightly, but we hold out a lot of hope for what we can do there. The adjacent businesses, Practice Insights, got some products to launch this year, and we hope they'll be successful. We'll see how that goes. It's more in the blue skies area. And as mentioned before, the opportunity in the renewals area, and you can also add to that translations, because that's a very valuable area of intellectual property. So we see those as growing. Nothing imminent just now, but we're certainly in some thinking about that a lot. So the appendices there just to really give you the background that we've been through before, and I think we're at a point where we can take questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you wish to queue for a question, please press 0 followed by 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press 0 followed by 2. Once again, if you would like to ask a question, that's 0-1 on your telephone. And your first question comes from Brock Kelly from Value. Please go ahead.
It's Nick Kelly. Hello, guys. Just a quick one. How should I think about margins in Singapore going forward as the business increases its weighting to trademark work versus pure patents?
Oh, look, I think the trademark work will always be remain a smaller part of the business. It's growing, but it's never going to grow to the same rate and the extent of patents. The margin for trademarks by nature is always a bit less than what it is for the patent side of the business, and that's whether it's in Asia or elsewhere.
And secondly, on that US market, that Invents Act, is that still does that have a prolonged impact on the US market, or was it a short window like here?
It was a bit of a short window. We haven't seen a big evidence. It's only in this year, the second half of 16, we haven't seen the same kind of pull forward that we saw in the raising the bar. I mean, there may well be a slight pull forward, but nothing's coming out in the first 6 weeks we've looked at figures so far. But it will be short and sharp. The thing which is good is, regardless of the AIA effect, as reflected in that slide on page 9, the PCT filings post AIA in the US in particular continue to be on an upward trend.
Great. Thanks very much for that.
Your next question comes from the line of Dominic Rose from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi guys. Just on the acquisition pipeline, at the AGM, you obviously provided the first half guidance and some commentary that you'd hope to spend similar amounts of in terms of quantum that you spent last year, and obviously you took a lot of money in the SPP, and you've got quite a war chest there. Can you maybe just give us a feel whether you're holding to that, or has there been a bit of slippage? Do you still expect to spend similar amounts this year?
Dominic, David here, good morning. Look, I feel certain we'll spend that. Slippage is only a bit in time. The opportunities are there, and so we're not concerned about sitting here on a pile of money for too long.
All right, very good. And just on the tax rate, the tax rate looked a little bit lower than expected. I sort of had assumed that it was going back towards a more sort of normal level. This is the underlying tax rate. Can you maybe just give us a bit of a feel for the tax rate and what we should expect going forward? Has anything changed there? Have there been any sort of one-time benefits in this half?
There was a one-time benefit, Dominic. Singapore gets investment allowances, and we've been doing some capital expenditure, particularly in the computer area in Singapore. That has had an impact, and that it's one time. But that's the major component. Overall, there was they do have a slightly lower, as a result, they have a lower tax rate, and that's what's caused it'll revert back to 17% once that capex is over.
Okay, so in the second half, we'd expect the tax rate to be a bit higher?
No, higher than the first half, yes, but back to 17% in Singapore.
Okay. Yeah, I understand. And also, you spoke about just some of the adjustments there around some write-backs and just earn-outs not being paid. Can you maybe just expand on that? Was it some people take these things as sort of the businesses not performing to expectations. Can you maybe just expand
on
that?
Okay. When we did the Callinans acquisition, the earnouts were predicated on the coming across of clients. We were always of the view that there was a particular client that might not come across, and that's the way we structured the deal. The contracts were obviously framed that the clients would come across, but we wouldn't pay the earnout if they didn't. The way the business acquisition rules are, you take up your contract as you have it on day one, and then you account for subsequent things that happen. So we now know that this client will not come across, and it's a major client of Callinan's, and therefore we are no longer obligated to pay half of the earnout. That's now reflected in the numbers, and if you read through the notes that are in the director's report, I hopefully have described it as best I can to explain how that's been accounted for. It's actually a net positive to our reported result, not our adjusted result, because we had a write back of 1.1, which went to revenue, or went to was a credit. And we had a 900 impairment, which was a debit.
All right, thanks for that explanation. And just lastly, the non-cash amortization of custom contracts, that'll be an ongoing below the line.
That's an ongoing. Yeah, there was a little bit of a catch-up because obviously FAK, the catch-up went into last year, but overall, that's an ongoing amount now. That will be coming through each reported period. If you look at the notes in the half year report, you'll see a full analysis of the intangibles. And if you apply 10% against the customer relationships and 25% against the software, you'll be able to calculate what that amount is each period.
Okay, thanks very much, guys.
No problem.
And your next question comes from the line of Michael Higgins from Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. I've just got a quick question regarding the market share slide, particularly in Australia. It sort of had a bit of a tick backwards, but what I'm interested in is kind of getting a bit of an understanding of the underlying movements between the divisions. So I understand Pizzy's is growing quite quickly, and I just wanted to get a sense of which one of the other divisions may be coming back.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. But this really comes down to the previous point about that Malcolm was making about that one client from Callanan's that was included in the 15 financial year 15 figure, and we took it out for this half year, given that it didn't come across post acquisition. In terms of other market share, Pizzi's is gaining market share, probably the strongest one of the entities. But in recent times, Spruson & Ferguson Australia is also gathering some market share, some increase in the last few months. But Pizzi's is probably the fastest growing entity within the business.
And just to get a sense from that chart, obviously IPH has come back a touch, but a lot of the other competitors have been stable or if not increasing. I mean, who is picking up share? I mean, is it a lot of the smaller players? Is that what's happening?
Look, it's mixed. I mean, one of the major competitors picked up a little bit, or two of them picked up a little bit, and some of the others have also gone back. I mean, there's no common theme across that, Michael. I mean, there's just a variety of movements, which reflects the nature of the clients. I mean, you never quite know how many. You know, we've got all these good predictors of PCT filings and other things, but you never know how many applications will land each year, and there always is a bit of variation in that.
Okay, that's great. Thank you for that.
And your next question comes from the line of Sam Haddad from Bell Potter. Please go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hi, Sam.
Just got a question. I just wanted to get an understanding as to why that client decided not to come over under the acquisition.
Morning, Sam. David here. Certain clients have certain policies, like they want to use two firms in a particular country. A lot of the clients use more than one firm, and it really was because they're an IPH. I think they took the view that they wanted to have two firms with totally separate entities, and so that was what they did, which is understandable. And as I say, it was almost forecast into the acquisition. So we, you know, obviously these things can be disappointing, but you fully understand where they're coming from. It wasn't through any complaint of service or anything like that.
Okay. Just a question on slide 20. You've got 23% growth on that like-for-like constant currency basis on the EBITDA line. And I think you mentioned Asia was almost at 30%. So where would Australia fall if you split that between regions?
Australia would have about 15%.
15% growth?
Yeah.
Okay. And just wanted to get a feel for how things are going so far in the second half, backing up the AIA impact.
Yeah, I guess, Sam, it's Andrew here. We haven't seen even across the industry, we haven't seen evidence yet. It's only, I guess, in the first few weeks of calendar year 16, evidence of a pull forward. As Spruson & Ferguson, from the Australian perspective, has gained a little bit of market share. These are pretty much slight variations, I guess, but no evidence of a pull forward out of the AIA. So business as usual. Pizzi's continues to reflect the strong growth as well.
Sam, David here again. Sorry, just one bit I should have added to the business about that client was that another entity in IPH acts for that client also. And, you know, it's a very strong client of theirs. So that's, you know, the situation where they like to split it in the country.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Thank you for your time.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press 0 followed by 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Okay. And there are no further questions coming through at this time, so I'll turn the conference back to today's presenters. Please continue.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening, and thanks for your support. And, you know, we're pretty happy with the way we're going, and we'll continue on and do the best for all of our shareholders. And I think we're fairly confident of where we see ourselves going in the next 12 months, lots of exciting things. And thank you again for your attention. Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude our conference for today. We thank you for participating. You may now all disconnect.